Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Joe, in this corner, we have, we have Joe D'Amato. Joe D'Amato's masterpiece, masterclass, Absurd.
In AKA. How many absurd AKAs can you name?
For absurd, I didn't write down the AKAs for absurd. But I mean, these guys also, and do we want to talk about their AKAs for the movie or Joe D'Amato's two dozen pseudonyms that he used?
Well, so dude, Bruno Matti has that too. Like the movie that we did, Shocking Dark.
Different name.
What was it? Vincent Dawn or something?
So many, dude. But D'Amato, his names go run the gamut of ethnicities and sex, and there's female names, there's male names, there's Asian inspired names. It's unbelievable. I went through all of them. It's fucking insane. In the other corner this week, we have Bruno
Tina's maiden name is spelled the same.
It is?
By Maddie.
Honestly, the only reason I looked it up is because people, you know, they come out, they tell us we said things wrong. I looked it up, they say Mate.
Yeah. Tina says she's going to do one of those DNA tests to see if we inherit. I think we already made that joke. I didn't even tell her that we talked about it. She was like, I should look it up to see if there's any money in my name. Yeah.
Like, and then she'll be like, let's watch every one of his movies. You're going to find out. And she's going to be like, let's watch all of his movies in a row. And probably two in, she would quit. And she's not a quitter of those things. But she would be like, okay, I've seen enough of my long lost uncle's fucking films.
She's already sat through Cruel Jaws and Rats, so she might as well keep it going.
I mean, yeah. I'm fascinated. I'm excited about the remaining weeks of doing this. I'm going to be honest with you.
You know, so am I. Let's be real. Neither of these movies are great, but there was something about them that like captured my interest.
Yeah.
And by the time I finished the second one, I was like, I can't wait to keep doing this, which as we know, by the end of next week, like, I can't wait to fucking stop doing this. But I'm in. I like this.
I think I'm all in. This week is a, this one's shameless ripoffs week. Props to our guy, Devin, Redneck Stomp, for coming up with these weeks for us. However, I wouldn't have put absurd in this category. I'm going to be honest with you.
So funny you say that. I've seen Absurd before, mm-hmm. And when Devin chose that one, a shameless ripoff, I was like, what the fuck is this a shameless ripoff of? Like, yeah. It's not that shameless. Watching it this time, knowing that he put it in the shameless ripoff, It is a fucking shameless ripoff of Halloween. Dude, the first time I, like, if somebody told me it was a ripoff of Halloween, I was like, there's no way. I just watched it. Like, and I remembered it pretty well. I was like, I don't know what's happening. Even like lines, like the babysitter is like, go down the street to where your parents are staying. Like, it is a shameless ripoff of Halloween. So well done. Well done including that one.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Should we score this like a boxing match, like the 10-9 or like, you know what I mean? Like 10-9 for the winner or like, you know what I mean? Like they don't they don't really go below
I think we would need, we should have probably, I wish you had brought that up last time because we could have come up with, you know, different criteria.
Different criteria.
So you could have scored it like rounds. Like,
well, the rounds, I read about boxing rounds today in preparation of this. It appears that you just... when they judge it, like, and I'm sure there's a million ways to judge a round, but the popular way is like this 10-9 thing where you just kind of like look at it.
That's true.
And you the winner like gets,
landed more punches.
Yeah. The winner gets 10, and then you give the loser a 9, and no matter what.
Correct.
That's fucking ridiculous. I had no idea. I thought it was actually scored, and like somebody probably should have told me because every time I saw a boxing score, I was like, that guy got his ass kicked. Why does he only have like 9 less points than the other guy? Fucking insane. What are you doing? 10-9? The guy just got his fucking face punched in. But now I understand. I understand now. 10-9. It's just... I kind of dig it, though. Anyway. No, I was thinking about the criteria, too. Maybe we'll go into criteria next week. Maybe we can come up with some things. But the criteria, I think, is going to change, too. So I think we're better off going with just a general...
Okay.
10, because like shameless ripoff, like I feel like we're going to judge it a little differently than like, let's say an animal attacks week.
Sure. I agree.
Cause like we have to think about the ripoff part of it.
I was going to say, if you're going off the ripoff alone, there's a clear cut winner.
There's a 100% winner to a point where you didn't have to watch the fucking movie. It's honestly insane. It's honestly fucking, I've never seen anything like it. Like legitimately, besides like those what are they, like the Indian, like is it Indian, like the, is it the Bollywood remakes or like
the Bollywood, yeah,
or like the Turkish Star Wars, like that's almost what this is, like it's very close to that. It's so bizarre. It's so fucking bizarre. I was shocked at that. So where do you want to start? You want to start with absurd? I really dug up.
So I have something. So you're usually the guy who comes up with gimmicks ideas. Yeah. And I thought of this and I want to ask you for your answer. I'm going to ask you two separate questions. Okay. All right. Number one, tell me what absurd's about.
Absurd is about, a man who is invisible. Well, not invisible. He's invincible. He's impervious to pain. He can regenerate. This is explained in great detail at the beginning by people we don't know. Now, what is his goal? He's got no real intentions, but he's just a guy, and he just wants to kill. Just like really a group of specific people for no apparent reason.
You know what? I'll accept it. The Vatican's involved. The Vatican also created him.
Wait, shit, what?
That guy is a Vatican priest. Why is it in the States is a great question.
Oh, dude.
One that someone should be asking.
My fucking favorite scene. And like... written by somebody that's never been to America, was them watching football and eating spaghetti. I've never seen a more like take like an old school Italian and ask him what life is like in America. Watching American football and eating spaghetti and being like, oh yeah, dude, they're shoveling spaghetti in their face. It's honestly insane. Oh, no, what were you going to say? You go. Second question.
So I had two absurd questions, and I'll ask you one for Shocking Dark.
Okay.
The second absurd question, is this a sequel to Anthropophagus?
Okay, so that's actually where I was going to go with that, because I had read that it is a spiritual successor to that, whatever that means. No, this is not a fucking sequel to Anthropophagus. And especially, that's what I was going to say, because you just said the Vatican created him, and in Anthropophagus, he fucking eats himself. So, how is this the fucking sequel?
It's the same guy. That guy must have never showered. He is the greasiest, grimy. Like, he looks like everything that he touches leaves behind a film. George Eastman. I don't know if he's still alive. If not, rest in peace.
He is alive.
He is disgusting. Fucking
alive. He's alive.
All right, good. Good for him. Good for him. Looks exactly the same. He acts exactly the same. And in the very beginning, he's holding his guts just like he does at the end of the Anthropophagus.
Yes.
Because he gets impaled on on a gate by the Vatican priest for some reason.
Which, like, they hid the fact that he was a priest for so long, I felt like.
To the point where I'm actually questioning if he is the priest. But
no, he is, because, I swear, I thought he was a priest when I first saw him. And then I was like, oh, I don't think he is, because he's, like, following this guy around. Oh, and the other tie-in to Anthropophagus is they're both from Greece.
Yes. From
an
island in Greece.
Which is just fucking weird. But anyway, I love that they included this. The stuff they included in this, like, I guess maybe that's why I didn't think of it as a shameless ripoff of Halloween, even though it definitely is. Like, when you look at it, like, it is. But, like, they, like, went into explaining why he's, like, regenerates and shit, or tried to explain, right? And, like, that was right. Just something that you never really heard about in Halloween. They avoided that. But in this one, in the first 5 minutes, they're like, by the way, he regenerates. And it was like, oh, shit, that's kind of cool.
Dude, even, like I said, I didn't notice this the first time. It wasn't until this time. But even stuff, you know, in Halloween, they have that famous scene where the kids are tormenting the other kid. And they're like, the boogeyman's coming. They have characters say, like, the same exact shit, but they change, like, one or two words. It's fucking unbelievable. That guy is Loomis. I mean...
Oh, for know, sure.
Priest
for
is
sure.
Loomis.
For
it's,
sure.
It's crazy. It's crazy. My Shocking Dark question, very similar to the absurd question. Can you explain the plot of Shocking Dark?
Shocking Dark... Shocking Dark... I mean... Shocking Dark. The problem with Shocking Dark is it is the plot of another movie, so I do know that story. However, the details that they talk about and then rewrite, like, halfway through and change are unbelievable. So I can't, like, quite tell you, because at first it's like, this is what Venice used to look like, and now this is what Venice is. It's a piece of shit.
By the way, when they do that in the beginning, like, this is Venice now, it's honestly fucking beautiful. It's like the most clear water, like, a beautiful skyline.
Dude, look at this giant piece of shit, Venice. And then at the end, like, and then they're like, and now Venice is a fucking shithole wasteland that, like, you can't even enter, right? But then the end of the movie, they're in Venice again. Like, running around Venice, and there's just, like, happy couples, and it looks gorgeous. Again, of course, because it's fucking Venice.
Dude, that movie had like, three different twists. I don't really understand what the twists were. I just know they were twists by the characters' reactions. And the guy would be like, it was me all along. Like, wait, what?
It was literally like a comedy routine when their reactions were like comedy routines. Because, like, they literally said things like, guess what? It was me. And then everyone's like, and then it'll cut to like six people who are like, oh my God. It's unbelievable. No, that one I can explain less. I mean, there's monsters. There's a robot guy. I don't know. But I'm also very curious how much trouble they got in once the Italian government saw that they dropped some guy into the canal. Like the world famous canal in Venice. Like, they had this guy throw a guy into the fucking canal. Most definitely didn't have permits to do that. Probably got arrested for it.
My second Shocking Dark question. Did James Cameron rip off Shocking Dark for Terminator 2? Because that guy at the end walks just like the T-1000. Roy Scheider, or what's his name?
I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna say yes,
dude. I think so too. I say yes too.
T-1000 was played by what's his name? I wasn't trying to cut you off. Robert Patrick.
That's it. Yeah.
Wait, wasn't Robert Patrick for some reason also involved in Nine Inch Nails? Was that him?
No, that's his brother, the front man from Filter.
Oh. That's right. That's such a weird connection. Anyway, I actually didn't think about that until you just said it. And I did notice the walk, though, because it's very right, like on brand for Terminator. So in my head, yes. I'm like, yeah, of course they did. Of course they ripped off the walk. And then I was like, oh, wait. And until you just said it, now it's like, oh, yeah, fuck. Like, that was T-1000's walk.
Yeah. 2 years later.
Now, how much funnier would it be if T-1000... Well, first of all, did T-1000 ever talk?
Yeah, he's like, have you seen this boy?
Oh, yeah. how much funnier would it be if T-1000 used the same modulator that Maddie used? And it's like, hi. Like, it's the highest pitch. My son has a little toy that, like, does it. All I can think of is, like the talk back. What were those called? Was it talk back? Talk boy? Not talk boy. It was, like, yak back. Something like that.
I know exactly. I could picture it. The like Sony piece of shit.
Yeah, you like fucking just like recorded dumb shit on it, and like, but like it would go like really high and like really really modulated, and that's what they used for his voice as his robot. They didn't even use like I am a robot. Like it's like hey, dude, when he's there's at one point he's like growling and it's like I've never seen anything like it. These guys fucking rock.
Did you enjoy? Actually, let's start with the competition. Which one did you enjoy more?
All right. Wait. First of all, can I also ask another question? I am.
Yeah.
D'Amato. Is it D'Amato or is it D'Amato? Joe D'Amato. It's D'Amato, right?
I say D'Amato. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go with D'Amato. That it's got to be it. Okay. Anyway.
D'Amato.
No, it's not that. It's D'Amato.
Sounds dumb. So it's probably it.
Anyway, Joe D'Amato. And by the way, these guys have like the most like, I mean, I don't want to say the most English names, but like they just like, they're not that like Italian. I almost wish it was like, you know.
Giuseppe.
I mean, not for fun, making fun of him, just like for ease. Like, I'm trying to think of like another, like a famous Italian director. Like they're just, you know, they're easier to say, but these are just, they're American. So they're confusing me. I don't know, leave me alone. All right, anyway, Joe D'Amato. All right, so which one do we like more? All right, first of all, would you recommend watching one or both?
Both.
Absolutely. 100% you have to watch both. Pay attention more to Absurd. Put your phone down for Absurd. You'll enjoy it.
You don't need to pay attention to Shocking Dark.
Shocking Dark, you can just check in and out of, honestly, because you've seen it. If you've seen Aliens, you've seen Shocking Dark. It's fucking crazy. And then your question was, which one do I like more?
So our fans in Discord are like vehemently against Absurd, and for some reason... absolutely love Shocking Dark. Fucking raving about
Shocking
Dark.
Is that true?
That is very true.
I mean, I saw
people on Letterboxd, they're giving Absurd 1 star and Shocking Dark like 4.
That's fucking insane. That's fucking insane. That's the most insane fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. That's fucking nuts. Joe, that's fucking nuts. First of all, I mean, I saw a handful of people be like, boy, Absurd is the most boring thing ever. I don't think, Joe, Absurd, like, I was all in. Like, I watched Absurd. I enjoyed every fucking minute of Absurd. There was, like, some downtime, but not at the beginning. Like, people were like, oh, it's so boring. Like, it's a slog at the beginning. I don't even know how you can think that. Like, dude, there's so much going on. He kills, like, three people.
Nonstop.
Dude, he fucking murders people. There's, like, one area in the middle where it's just, like, a lot of him walking around and, like, them eating spaghetti and watching football, but it's not that long of a time. Like, and honestly, like it was fine. Like every movie's got a little downtime. Like we got to tell a fucking story somehow. I would choose absurd over Shocking Dark probably, like, very easily. I do like Shocking Dark. I was kind of just trying to play it up that it was a harder choice, but Shocking Dark was fun to watch. There was one guy in a suit playing 8,000 bad guys, which was fucking hilarious. They made no attempt at making a second suit.
that's funny. We said it at the beginning. I am all in on these just because of how stupid and like fucking these guys. It's unbelievable that they're making movies just trying to capitalize off other, like, yes, more famous movies.
Yes.
And they're trying to make a living off it. And like we said last week, these guys are like in their 60s. These guys are fucking old men.
Dude, you know, that's actually a great point. And maybe that's why I even give Shocking Dark like the value that I give it, because really on paper, I didn't really enjoy it all that much. Like, but there was something about the fact that this, like, I kept watching intently because I was like, this guy can't steal everything, can he? And he did. He stole literally fucking everything. And like, there was just something fascinating about it and how they kind of, I guess like how they, I don't know how to explain this, almost like translate our American film to like an Italian audience, sort of, right? Like, there was something interesting about that to me, especially in Shocking Dark, where like the things they did change, right? Like, did they change it because they were like, Italians like this more? Although I thought it was super weird because it is the most anti-Italian film I've ever seen. That that woman from Demons just fucking shits on that Italian guy from the moment we meet him. She's like, this fucking dirty wop. Unbelievable. They're in Venice. And she's shocked that there's an Italian person there.
I just looked up because I was like, you know, I said these guys are like 60, and I was like, they're probably not that old. Joe DiMaggio was born in 1936. So that came out in 81. So he was a little under 50.
Yeah.
But Bruno Matti was born in 1931.
He's like 5 years older than him, right?
Yes, 5 years older than him. And that came out in what, 89? He's a fucking old man. Almost 60.
Dude, and he's, wait, Maddie's the older one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, that's even crazier to make Shocking Dark, to be like, hey guys, check out what I'm about to do. Do you want to start with Shocking Dark?
Yeah, yeah. How do you want to do it? Because, I mean,
we don't have to go scene by scene. I definitely didn't take notes scene by scene, but we can just talk about it. I have more to say about Absurd. I think there's like more information about Absurd. Shocking Dark was really very matter-of-factly a cash grab.
Agreed. All right, yeah, let's start with Shocking
Dark. So Shocking Dark, first of all, was that filmed in English? I don't think that's a dub.
I think I agree because some of those scenes, especially at the end, are so, like, the dialogue is so choppy to the point where it's like, I don't think that guy understands what he's saying. He's just repeating words back.
Shocking Dark English. I'll look for it. I don't think it's really weird. Because if it's a dub, like they language Italian. That honestly blows my mind. It did not look like that. How did this premiere at the Cannes Film Festival, Joe?
Wait. Shocking Dark did?
Yes.
It premiered at Cannes?
Yeah.
What? Dude.
I love movies. Like, dude, this is like the shit that like we could sink our teeth into. Like, these movies are like unbelievable, and like I think you and I both love things where there's a lot of lore behind them, like the fucking
tracks,
like everything that, like, this shit is unbelievable. Like, you can dig on these movies probably for like a year straight and just find something new all the time. This was released under multiple names. Terminator 2, Aliens 2, which is fucking hilarious since Aliens was Alien 2, but this is Aliens 2, which it does. It rips off Aliens, right? Yeah, knew it was, right, Aliens.
The second one. Yeah.
Alienator. So that was just a fucking Terminator plus Alien. That's my favorite one, Alienator. And the Contaminator, which is the least impressive one. But Maddie decide to use Mate. You decide to. I'm going to say Maddie, so everyone can just fucking deal with it. If that's Tina's maiden name, I'm gonna go with it. It's just so much easier to say it that way.
It is. That's
So we're going with it anyway. And we talked about this one a lot last week anyway, because we found, because I couldn't find the fucking movie title, and then it's because it was under Terminator 2. which again is super fucking funny that he did this before Terminator, or before Terminator 2 came out.
Yeah.
And like, dude, that just fucking cracks me up that he did it and then was like, oh shit, they're making a sequel. Time to change the name. And this movie, yeah, so it takes place, it opens in present Venice, and they're like, yeah, the seaweed's killing the oxygen. I don't know why. And that's what's killing Venice. So Venice is dying, and then it's like, no, this is Venice now. And the sad part was, it was probably just still, I mean, it wasn't probably, it was current day Venice, but it was just like, their construction sites. Like, they just filmed construction sites of Venice. And they were like, look at what a piece of shit this place is in the future.
What will happen tomorrow?
What will happen tomorrow? And from the beginning, you could say, like, doing a massive sci-fi project like this on this little of a budget is insane. It looks insane. Like... The costumes are really fucking bad. Did you feel any way about those? I thought it was like offensive, the costumes.
Yes. Do we have how much money he put into this film?
It's not listed. I'm gonna see if it's on IMDb.
It can't be high. Even the monsters that he made.
The monsters, I mean, those are just like ghillie suits that they fucking, that they just like, it's insane. And most of the cast is in one costume that looks so fucking dumb. The other half of the crew is in essentially just giant pajamas. And they bought one size because... Some of them are so ill-fitting on these guys. Like, they're giant. Like, it's like when you see a guy in, like, a giant suit that doesn't fit and it's, like, draping over his, like, fucking thumb. Like, there's, like, the scene opens with those guys in pajamas and, like, it honestly is, it's comical, like, how ill-fitting it is on these guys. And they're, like, running around pretend. I didn't know what they were. Like, are they prisoners? No, they're supposed to be scientists dressed like that.
That first scene, I know you're about to get to it and you're looking something up, but that first scene is a bunch of scientists, you know, radioing in SOS. And usually when that happens in a movie, like, all you need is, you know, one person to yell SOS and you know that they're in trouble, right? These guys tell the camera that they're in trouble for the next 7 minutes. It was fucking, like, to the point where I was like questioning my own like existence. Like, am I still watching this?
It was like a Simpsons bit. Joe, they're watching a screen. So we're in present day Venice. By the way, I could not find the budget anywhere, but they're in present, or they're in future Venice. They're not. I think the people are in space or just on the surface outside of Venice. I don't know. But it's like a military operation. They're monitoring Venice because it's such a fucking mess. And they're looking at like these security screens from within this building. And the guys are screaming. And like, so like, there's like six of them, so like they're yelling over each other, so you'll hear a guy like further in the background be like, oh god, we're not gonna last much longer. And this this goes on for so fucking long, and they're just watching the screen.
And there's nothing like chasing them or nothing coming up. They're just staring at the screen, be like, we're really in trouble.
Dude, staring at the screen, like talking to the screen. It was one of the funniest, funniest visuals I've ever seen. And they're in their like big pajama outfits. And just like being like, oh, help us. Like nothing appears to even be happening. And then the cameras go out. And by the way, imagine having that much time and not telling them what was happening.
Great point. Because they're in direct contact with like the help center, and the help center. And while that's happening, the help center is just radioing back, being like, "Are you guys in trouble?"
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was about to say. They're like, "What's going on down there?" And they're like, "Ah." They're talking so much, but not ever at one point even remotely explaining what's going on. We're not going to last much longer. Dude, saying that instead of telling them what's happening is so funny. Imagine you call 911 and that's all you're just telling them. They're like, well, can you tell what the fuck is happening? And oh, God.
Couldn't they see them?
Dude, they could absolutely see them. They had all the cameras on.
It makes it even more ridiculous.
Yeah, and the cameras go out, and then we see one of them kind of turn into a zombie-esque creature, which, boy, I don't think that's explained unless they can turn these humans into aliens.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and then we meet the Tubular Corporation, which is supposed to be, whatchamacallit. What's the company in Aliens? Not Nosferatu. That's the name of the ship or whatever.
Ship, yeah.
It's like, whatever. Or am I thinking of Die Hard or am I thinking of this movie? Dude, why is
I honestly, I can't think of it.
All right.
I thought it was like a hyphenated name, something corp.
There's definitely like a company involved, right? Anyway, this is just a ripoff of it, except instead of coming up with a unique sci-fi name, they called it Tubular Company. Okay, sorry, my notes disappeared. So Tubular Corporation shows up. We're back in whatever this is, like a spaceship or whatever. Wherever the Mega Force works out of, which is the name of the military. The military is called the Mega Force. And the Mega Force is going to go into Venice and figure out what's going on in there. What's popping in Venice? And then Tubular Corporation shows up and they're like, "Hey, I'm going too." And they're like, "What are your credentials?" And he's like, "Fucking military." And then we also have a lady scientist, but no one. Oh, the guy does question her credentials and they're like, "She's a fucking scientist, idiot." So that's our main crew, and then we meet another half of our crew, which is led by the woman from Demons.
Yes.
And dude, I fucking laughed out loud that the scene where she's screaming at him because she's like the tough military captain, right? And she's screaming at these guys, which is insane. I mean, like those scenes are always so ridiculous, but this one made me laugh because she's like just screaming at him. And then at one of them, she's like screaming at this guy. And then she turns around and the guy just goes, "Hey, fuck off." Which like, if you say that to your captain, who's like literally like, this is a scene where she's like enforcing how much power she has. You know, you're like, "Oh shit, what's she going to do? Is she going to like shoot him or something?" And she just fucking points at him. And it's the most realistic thing that would ever happen. Like, I feel like when some kid mouthed off to like a sports coach after giving like a big fucking tough guy speech, like that's what he would do. He would just be like, he had nothing good to say. He had no good comeback. So it was just like, "Bleh. Bleh. Yeah, back to you, pal." She just fucking points at him and walks away. And this woman hates Italian people. Her Italian rants are just strings of WAP and grease and like, that's it, really. She's just like, "You greasy WAP, grease bomb, piece of shit." "You rubbing grease all over the place, you greasy WAP. What do you think you're doing, WAPy greaseball?" The guy's like, "Yeah, fuck you." Oh, man.
Oh, she's not Italian. I just looked it up.
I thought she was Italian.
It says an American actress.
I'm like nine, because she was in Demons.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think she can speak Italian. And the only reason I think that is because I think I like read about Demons. I thought she was Italian. That's weird.
It says on her Wikipedia she starred in many Italian films.
That's interesting. I wonder. I mean, I guess fuck it. Get that Italian money. I think they were putting like a. I think they were pumping like a decent amount of money into them.
That's crazy.
I mean, I do. I genuinely think that they had like. I think these people were getting paid. I just think that they. I think these guys were like, when it came to like effects and stuff. I think they were like, fuck it, like we'll figure it out. Like, let's do drugs. Let's all get paid. And then, like, we'll worry about, you know, how to make a fucking monster later. Oh, man. So, what else happens in this movie besides it's just the plot of Aliens?
One thing that stuck out in my mind right after we get introduced to the crew, they're immediately, like, find people covered in shit, you know, like alien eggs. And this scene made me laugh out loud. That's why it's probably embedded in my brain. They come across a guy whose face is absolutely mutilated. And the main character goes, "Don't worry, bud, I'll cut you out." Like, that guy is fucking destroyed. Like, you're not cutting him out. You're not saving him. Are you fucking kidding me?
He's so fucking dead. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And that was the other thing. I'm not really quite sure what this, you know, Venice is destroyed. I'm not really sure what this mission is about. You know, like, just drop a fucking bomb on it.
I have no clue what the mission is about. Like I said before, that he tries to put in all these twists and turns at the end. But there's no way anyone was following it.
No. And I'd be curious to know if he was like if those changes happened, like. They seem very randomly put in and rushed. Like, I feel like maybe they were like, he was just like, let's change the end. Or like he watched Terminator like halfway through filming and was like, oh, dude. I'm going to use Terminator. I'm going to make this a Terminator movie now.
Oh, my God. I wish he was still alive so I could ask him that. That would make the most sense. Like, he was like, we're doing an Alien ripoff, and then just one day he catches Terminator on TV and he's just like, oh fuck, I gotta throw something in here, because it has nothing to do with Terminator until the very end when that guy is 100% Terminator.
It's so true. It's and so
he can, dude, that guy, dude, that guy gives a speech at the end, he's like, about how he is a Terminator and how like nothing can hurt him.
It is insane. It's fucking insane.
You nailed it. That's 1,000% what happened. You just watched Terminator in his trailer. I was like, holy shit. Call everybody together right now.
We're changing the direction. Remember those monsters?
Yeah, because that never came back at the end. Everyone was probably ready to go home. They had like 3 days left of shooting, this fucking guy.
Dude, the end of the movie when I'm just going to call her Sigourney. I mean, that's right. Like, that's the character. Sure. She is.
Ripley. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ripley is running to escape with Newt and monsters stopped showing up.
Yeah.
And for like, it's a 10-minute scene for them to get to like, to get to their little escape pod. And they're running like they're terrified. And I actually rewound it because I was like, wait, maybe I missed something. Like, I feel like I fucking missed something. And they're just running and looking like they're scared or that there might be something around them, but nothing shows up. There's no final like monster fight, right?
Right.
It's just the Terminator.
Right. Which is a complete tonal shift. It's so
totally different. Totally different. And they even like come back to like normal Venice. Like, they're in like a building this whole time. And then they just come up to normal Venice and it's just the Terminator. It's fucking wild. It's fucking wild. Which is funny too, because, you know, it's like Sarah Connor and Ripley. I don't know. Like, there is like, you can kind of like, not like hot swap them, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was very easy for him to be like, oh, yes. Now, hey, they're not Ripley and Newt anymore. They're John and Sarah Connor.
Yeah, no, they did. It's
fucking amazing, dude. This movie rocks. I'm sorry. Like,
you know what? You know what's funny about this too is that every movie has a Wikipedia, right?
Yes.
There have been movies that we've covered that have no business having a Wikipedia write-up, and they're like the most in-depth, detailed scene-by-scene write-up, which is like good for when doing the show, because like that, at least for me, like I know you take extensive notes, but like when I watch the movie, I do better just watching it, and then right. I try and like look at Wikipedia after and be like, oh yeah, you know, connect some dots. Shocking Dark has nothing. It's because nobody can be bothered to try and fucking make a plot with this. It has zero plot listed on Wikipedia. I've never seen that. Sometimes you'll at least get like one or two sentences, right?
Yes.
Like in the future, this, and that's all you'll get. This has nothing. It doesn't have a single sentence for a plot.
I genuinely, the more we're talking about this movie, the more I fucking love it. So most of this like first three quarters of this movie is just military running around, doing stuff, scene like straight scene by scene of Alien. They even have like the little tracking device. You know what I mean? Like they're like, they're coming. The weird part is it's always just one alien at a time. There's never more than one alien on scene, and it's because it's the same fucking guy. And they reuse a lot of the same alien murder shots over and over again too. So that's always yes. That's always
fun. And dude, that tracker, sometimes they'll show the audience what they're looking at the tracker, and there will be nothing. There won't even be a single light illuminated. it's just a piece of equipment. Yeah.
Dude, it's so true. I also found that, like, I felt like every 10 minutes in this movie, it felt like the movie was about to end. Like, it was really odd. And I remember somebody in the Discord was like, Shocking Dart's like 20 minutes long. And I was like, wait, I just read it. So I probably misread it or whatever. But I was like, is it that short? And then I started, it's an hour and 30 minutes. And I was like, what does that mean? But then, like, I started, like, after 10 minutes, I was like, wait, is this a long movie? And I had to check, because at the 10-minute mark, I was like, I'm pretty sure they're wrapping this movie up. And, like, it felt like every 10 minutes, there was only 10 minutes left. Like, they were, like, it seemed like they were almost wrapping it up. And I guess that made sense, because the alien stuff did end kind of early.
Very.
So like that, I guess that does make sense. They did wrap it up earlier. So like, yeah, it wasn't the end, but it was the end of that. And Matei was just like, hey, I'm fucking done with that. I'm getting into the Terminator business, baby. No one gives a fuck about aliens anymore.
You know what both movies get a point for is taking lines from the movie they're ripping off and just changing the word. So like a famous, you know, line in Aliens is like, you bitch, when she's yelling at when Ripley's yelling at the alien.
Yeah.
And they have that exact scene and he just changes it to you bastard.
Oh man. So I'm not like the biggest Alien fan or Aliens fan. Like I like those movies fine. I don't know a lot about them. Like, I never got so engrossed. Like, I don't know all the character names or anything. Like, I know they had like a cyborg in it too, right? Like,
yeah. Yep.
But that's later, right? That's not in Aliens.
No, it's in the first two, isn't it?
The cyborg guy?
Yeah. Isn't John Hurt's character?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm like fucking terrible at those movies. I just like those movies never like I saw them and I was like, yeah, they're cool. Which Paul's gonna be so fucking mad about. He's gonna fucking message me about this and be like, you fucking ungrateful shit.
Paul fucking hates Aliens.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I honestly didn't want to deal with this bullshit boring. This week.
I was wrong. It's not John Hurt. It's Ian Holm. But
okay. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Paul claims that the opening scene of showing you the spaceship and Alien is more than half of the movie. It's like 7 minutes.
I love Paul so much. His fucking exaggerations are the best. Half the movie. All right. Yeah. Oh, the point of that was I did some reading on Aliens, the movie, and it was actually interesting. No one wanted to make the sequel, which I thought was fucking bizarre.
Really?
Yeah. Like James Cameron, wanted to, and they were like, no, it's not going to fucking do well. And it took him years to get it approved. And finally, they hired a new president, and he was like, yeah, why would we not make a sequel to Alien? Seems kind of fucking weird to me. But yeah, it took him a bunch of years to get it off the ground because, I don't know, people were just like, no one's going to watch that. But I feel like everyone watched the first one. So I don't know where that
biggest sci-fi movie ever.
Fucking weird, dude. Weird shit. Yeah, so basically most of the movie is these people getting picked off by these monsters, which is just ghillie suits. They kind of resemble, Admiral Akbar / Cthulhu in a way. They don't look like xenomorphs.
They do not. No.
Not even fucking close. They're just green men. Dude, they're men. What are we talking about here? It's men. It's men. It's human. Humanoids. They're humanoids. Right. If you want to get down to it. They have two legs and arms. Anyway. All of that happens. They're just killing aliens. Eventually, it's just down to our Sigourney and Newt characters and the man from Tubular Inc. who reveals himself to be he is revealed to be a cyborg, but then we're supposed to get another reveal when they peel his face off 15 minutes later. And I was like, wait, he was talking like a robot.
Yes, he was.
10 minutes ago, I don't think we needed this huge reveal of his face peeling off and be like, oh my god, he is a robot. Literally talking, dude. He gets a load. Anyway, he gets electrocuted. Sigourney electrocutes him. They try to blow up the building. Well, they do blow up the building. They get into the escape pod. And they escape, which I honestly, it wasn't a pod, right? They teleported.
Yeah.
Right? But it was a pod, but they teleported.
Right.
They teleported. And they land in Venice, which I thought was a wasteland, but it's not. There's children all around them. They wake up. They wake up and there's a kid playing with a remote control car. And guess what? Fucking Terminator's there too. And he's like, I also teleported. He doesn't say that exactly, but he says something that's like, guess what? I came too. You thought you killed me, but I got in the other door. And then a new movie starts right now. A new movie starts of a Ripley and Newt running away from the Terminator, who is just, dude, walking. Oh, well, she cuts him with a fucking bottle, which is insane because she had just electrocuted him and shot him 100 times. Yeah. And he's back. He's still here. And then she's like, well, yeah, what about this broken bottle to the face? Which just reveals his robot face. And yeah, man, it's just Terminator chasing him. He's like doing the T-1000 walk. He's throwing guys in the fucking canal. The ultimate end is that they're cornered. It looks like he's going to kill him. But she throws this device that she somehow got from the pod. She throws this handheld device from the pod at him, which we were never really explained what it was. And I thought it killed him, but I think it might also just teleport him.
Ooh, I like that. I just assumed it killed him. but maybe it just sends them back.
I think it was like the same effect as what happened when they teleported, which I also thought was part of the explosion. Like, and when I say effect, guys, it was like literally just flashing lights on the screen. It was unbelievable. It looked like somebody took a flashlight and was just flashing it in the center of the camera. It was it was insane. So when I say effect, like you could not discern what was happening. It was just flashing shit on the screen. So was it an explosion? They show an explosion while he's teleporting or doing something. I don't know. Anyway, he's gone. He's gone. I think he teleported. I think they were waiting for the Aliens 3, 3 and Terminator 4 sequel. And Ripley and Newt, they go and they look at Venice, which, again, looks gorgeous. Looks fucking gorgeous.
Which Terminator guy revealed also as what I think was supposed to be a twist, that Venice isn't actually a wasteland. He was just poisoning the water, which I don't think affected anybody yet because the people were like, we got to stop it. Like,
everyone seemed pretty okay. I'm going to be honest. Dude, they meet multiple people. Dude, people are like walking down the boardwalk eating ice cream. Everyone seems really fucking happy. Kids got a race car like... Like, fucking, things seem to be great in Venice. And then, even to that point, which is even more hilarious, is Ripley looks at Newt and goes, we've got a lot of work to do before it's too late for everybody. That's how it ends. Dude, the city looks like it's thriving. She's like, oh, God, look at this giant piece of shit we gotta fix. God, we've got so much work to do. Let's go. Let's go. Meanwhile, Venice is like, please don't help us anymore. You've done enough.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots. All right, let's move quick into the movie that is, oh boy, I am excited to talk about. This is D'Amato. Yep. Sorry. This is D'Amato. D'Amato has made 120 porn films and 200 normal films. Fucking legend. He also has 24 pseudonyms, which we talked about. This movie is written by George, what's his name? Eastman.
George Eastman.
So yeah. He wrote this. He actually wrote another one we're going to do in our last week. He did Endgame also.
Okay.
And he's also in Endgame, and he's in Absurd. So we'll be seeing more of our boy, fucking smelly man Eastman, in the weeks to come. God, he has such a distinct look. Like, I was like, this has to be the guy from Anthropophagus, and he was. It was just insane. And he would go on to do a lot of movies with D'Amato. He did Anthropophagus, which we do next week, Erotic Night of the Living Dead, Caligula, The Untold. Oh, wait, he wrote these. He wrote Anthropophagus also. Erotic Night of the Living Dead, Caligula, The Untold Story, and he wrote Endgame. And he would star in, you know, Absurd, 2020 Texas Gladiators, which I didn't realize was a D'Amato movie. Erotic Night of the Living Dead, Anthropophagus, and Porno Holocaust, which I think that was like what started this conversation last week.
You've seen Porno Holocaust.
Yeah, and it's fucking not a porno and it sucks. he did do one movie with Mate, and that is Emmanuel's Revenge. But
Joe D'Amato did all the other Emmanuel movies.
Yes. And Bruno really wrote it and co-directed it. But D'Amato's also the director on it. Dude, I love that these guys' paths like crossed occasionally in these weird ways. And I feel like, I don't feel like there was a grudge, but I feel like maybe they were just like, they were each other's competition, right? They had to be. No one was making dog shit like this. Imagine you have like the fucking, you have like, I mean, it's, I guess it's our podcast. You have like, you're making these dog shit movies and you're like, this is my wheelhouse. I'm just going to make fucking insane ripoffs of movies. And then some other guy's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that too. And you're like, wait, it was our fucking gimmick. And the guy's like, yeah, well, Now it's mine.
Now, do you think they were, someone has to know the answer to that. Were they rivals or were they both just like if you and me just started doing it?
Everybody eats. Just,
yeah.
I feel like it had to be a little bit of both. I mean, because they obviously, I know that they co-wrote, they co-directed. I mean, they blamed one movie on each other. No one will take credit for a movie, but they both were somehow involved. So I don't know. Like, I feel like there had to have been some level of competition between the two. Or they were just laughing their asses off to the bank.
You know, two things with that. One, they're not going to the bank. And two, neither of those guys look like they've ever smiled in their lives. Every picture with them, they look so fucking miserable.
That's so fucking funny.
I was Googling pictures of them before we started this. And like, there's pictures of Joe D'Amato. There's one that like kept coming up, and it's him reading like a horror pamphlet, which there's no way he knows how to read. I've never seen anybody hold a pamphlet and give off the vibe that they have no clue what they're doing more than he does in that picture. But all their pictures, they're fucking miserable.
That's super funny. Yeah, I don't know. I know... I can't remember which one now, and now that's a fucking useless fact, but I watched an interview with a guy that did the dubbing, the American dubbing for both of these guys' movies. They both hired this one guy out of the US to kind of, he would, I guess, handle the whole thing, like produce the American version. And fucking one of them, I want to say it was D'Amato. D'Amato, like, he was like, yeah, this guy, I never got to talk to him because he did not give a shit about the American version. He's like, he literally didn't give a shit. He gave me no notes. Yeah, he told me nothing about it. I mean, he was a nice guy, but just wanted nothing to do with the American version. And he was like, Matei was a lot nicer and a lot more involved and was like, yeah, and like wanted like to put him in movies, like just because he was a friend. And I was like, yeah, that fucking sounds like this fucking guy. Sounds like this fucking bozo. Look, you're making fucking Shocking Dark. Of course, you're going to be like, hey, you want to be in a movie? Maybe you'll charge me less for
yeah.
ADR.
Yeah. Yeah. Just begging people to be in it.
All right. So, Shocking Dark, is a movie that is the shameless ripoff of, Halloween, which I didn't realize until Joe,
you said Shocking Dark. We're talking about Absurd now.
I'm sorry. Absurd is the ripoff of, Halloween. I kind of realized it and then I confirmed it with Joe like midday just to like kind of make sure I was on the right track. Cause I really did. I felt like it was so much more unique, but really at the end of the day, yeah, it's fucking Halloween. And I mean, even his outfit, even though it's not the jumpsuit, it's just like an all blue outfit, right?
Right.
Like he's got blue jeans. I think he's got a blue top. So it's like very, it's very similar. He's a very, just a big imposing dude. And I don't remember a lot about Anthropophagus, but I don't feel like this guy was behaving in this manner in it.
You know, I haven't seen Anthropophagus since college, and of course, the only thing I remember is the end. I honestly, I don't know.
I'd be curious to see his body language in it, because the body language in this is definitely very Halloween-esque. Like, after you were talking about it, dude, there's so many scenes where he's like at the doorway, and he behaves exactly like Michael. Like he's in the middle of something, but then hears the little kid and then will suddenly like look, stop. He doesn't speak. So I get it, you know?
Yes.
Also, isn't his name like Miko? Miko?
Wait. Miko's. Miko.
So he's just the Grease Michael.
That's a great catch.
He's just like Michael Myers from Grease, Mikos. Mikos Myers.
I wish they did that. I wish
that would be so dope. That would honestly, there's probably a version of this floating around where like he wrote that in and somebody was like, you cannot do that. You've done enough.
Myers.
This is insane. You can't do this. This is not, we will get sued for that. Do you think he had somebody on set that was just like, that like would be like, yes, you can do that. No, you can't.
1,000% no. There's no fucking way.
Mikos Tanuopoulos. What, like, well, that's insane. Anyway, so Absurd's AKAs. Rosso Sangu, which is Italian for red blood. You got Anthropophagus 2. You got Zombie 6, Monster Hunter. Dude, they fucking abused the shit out of the zombies.
The zombies, dude. The zombies.
Any zombie movie was not safe in Italy. Movies not even... It'd be a vampire movie. It was probably Zombie 7 or Zombie 2. And then sometimes they would do shit like Zombie 2 2. Horrible. This is also called Horrible and the Grim Reaper. And yeah, I mean, they even call him the Boogeyman throughout the whole movie, right?
Yeah, which is again like Halloween. But the AKA for this one was the Grim Reaper 2, which is funny because the Anthropophagus is also known as the Grim Reaper. So the motto is just a fucking mess with keeping his own stuff straight.
And it's crazy because you could say, like, you know, sometimes you'll see a movie and it'll be like, oh, it was called this in another country. I'm pretty sure he ran with all of these names in Italy. Like, I don't think these are different countries' names. I mean, probably some of them are, but I think genuinely, like, I think he just, like, kept changing the name. He probably kept getting, like, cease and desist. Imagine if he cease and desisted himself over Anthropophagus 2. It's like, hey, some guy released Anthropophagus 2. I never filmed that.
Well, dude, I don't know the legality of this, but I know, like, going back to Shocking Dark, it was not released in America for those reasons. Like, I don't think they could get a cease and desist because he's making it overseas, but they were like, you can absolutely not distribute this here or not play this.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And like, I would just, I would do anything to talk to these guys now. Like, I would just love to talk to them because I would just love to know their reaction to that. Cause I genuinely feel like he would have been confused, like why he couldn't release Terminator. Like, Terminator
2. I agree. I think it would be like the Lloyd Kaufman reaction of not having a box office success. Being like, why would they not let this be played?
why can't I use the fucking name Terminator 2? You're telling me you own the name Terminator? And they're like, yeah. No, that's fucking exactly what we're telling you. Well, all right. Call it Shocking Dark.
Fuck, we should have changed our podcast name when we came back and just like whatever what's the most popular podcast out there now?
I don't know.
Joe Dude, Rogan. I can't even name one. Yeah. The Joe Rogan Experience too.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Holy shit. Holy shit.
We should have changed it to that and then just started selling merch.
Fuck, I still kind of want to. I'm so mad. I'm so fucking mad. And just take his fucking artwork of his face and just like change it slightly.
Alter it a little bit.
Wasn't there like a meme? I think you would know this. I guess it was a meme or it was on Reddit where the guy was like taking his friends like...
Dude, yes. He had his friend's Facebook login and he would log in... He would log into his account and just like alter his eyebrows a little bit so they're like slightly more raised.
Like slightly spread his eyeballs apart.
So malicious.
And like every day would like change a different picture.
like lower his lips a little bit.
Dude, and it was honestly unsettling. Like, the pictures, like, he would post, like, it was like that Uncanny Valley shit. Like, it was just like, it was enough, like, we don't even know that guy that he was doing it to. And, like, you could be like, oh my God, that's, there's something weird about that fucking picture. That was the fucking best. That's what I would do to the Joe Rogan thing, though. I would just, like, slightly move his lips down and his eyes apart. Fuck. Oh, my God. That's so fucking genius. I wish we thought of that.
I know. But too bad we weren't doing this before. The Bruno versus DeMar.
Oh, my God. Dude, that would have been fucking...
Although, to be fair, if we were talking about coming back and you pitched doing D'Amato versus Bruno Matti right off the bat, I'd be like...
You're like, Sean, you're going to end the fucking show. You're not going to do this again. You quit over fucking Bones with Snoop Dogg. What are you going to do with fucking Absurd and Shocking Dark? Oh, man. All right. So this is essentially Halloween. The differences here, though, I feel are great. I love it. I fucking love this movie. I think this movie is fucking awesome to watch. I had such a good time. There's a girl in a neck brace, which I didn't think was meant anything. I didn't think that mattered at all, because it really doesn't until the last.
Which that's fine. But it's also irrelevant. Like, she doesn't need to be in that neck brace.
It's absolutely
the fact that those 10 minutes happen, like, make it even more stupid.
Adding characters for no fucking reason. Because she is introduced just as this girl in a bed, and there is no detail. No one cares about her. And then at the end, it's suddenly like she's a character that we're like we're supposed to know and root on. And I was like, fuck cares about this girl? Like, so bizarre. So we meet her, and we immediately meet two guys that'll be intertwined throughout this movie. Mikos, who I just referred to as Absurd in all of my notes, and the priest, who I don't even know if I have his name. Does he even have a name?
I'm pretty sure they just refer to him as priest.
Dude, he is credited as priest. Fucking amazing. So
because this guy is picked up by police officers, and he is grilled so many times, and they're just screaming priest in his face. like this is his proper name. What do you say to that, priest? Also, this priest has done nothing wrong. When the police pick this guy up, like, where's your identification, you piece of shit? And the guy's like, identification? And like, yeah, you got shit in your ears? And then the priest is like, well, I have my passport, which, by the way, perfectly fine and probably, like, really convenient form of identification to present to a police officer. And the cop's like, fuck you, you're going downtown. The guy's doing nothing wrong.
What's more insane, that the cop's like, you're going downtown, even though he presented identification, or the priest being like, what's identification? I only have a passport.
Probably the cops, because the priest is from, he's not from America.
That's true. Wait, so are you telling me this does take place in America? Are we sure about that?
Oh, yeah. It takes place in America.
That's fucking...
I know this because it was filmed in Italy, but Joe D'Amato wanted to appeal to American audiences by making it take place in America. Which, as an American, I have never given a shit. I've never been like, well, this movie takes place in America. I better go fucking watch it.
Which is weird, because didn't Fulci, or not Fulci, Argento do that with... Oh my God, I can't even think of the name right now. The ballet one.
Suspiria.
Didn't he, like, that's supposed to be in Manhattan, and I've never seen a place look less like Manhattan in my whole
life. Wait, Suspiria takes place in Manhattan?
Dude, I'm like 90% sure it's supposed to be in New York City.
I thought it was an American going over, like,
Maybe I'm fucking wrong. No, dude, I'm going to look it up. Because that's perfect for this D'Amato.
Yeah, she's in Germany. She's an American. They go to Germany.
She's an American that goes to Germany?
Yeah.
In the
school's in Germany.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I had that wrong then. Well. Anyway, just say you're in fucking Italy. It's all Italy. You film this shit in Italy. Just say it's in Italy.
Dude, imagine wanting to go see Absurd because it took place in America.
Hey, listen. Guys, there's these other films, but this one looks like it takes place in America. So, you know, I'm only going to go see this one. I'm not going to go see that other bullshit. It has to be filmed in America. Oh, yeah. Fucking a young American ballet student arrives in Germany. Well, look at that. Anyway. So the priest, he gets taken into questioning. Oh, and he gets taken into questioning. Wait, what? Is it just because the cops run into him?
I'm pretty sure because he's, well,
because the investigating,
the guy that you refer to as Absurd has escaped and he's killing people. Like, he kills people right off the bat. So I think the cops are trying to find out what's going on and they come across the priest.
But had he killed somebody at that point? Because Mikos, Absurd, he was running. Wait, first of all, like, let's go back a minute because this makes no fucking sense.
Well, he gets disemboweled immediately.
Wasn't Mikos running from the priest?
Yes, he was.
So an unstoppable killing machine was like, please, please, no. this old man's chasing me.
Yes, that is how we're introduced to Mikos. The priest is just, and the priest essentially fucking kills him because he impales him, and then the next 20 minutes, Mikos is like having life saving surgery.
Yeah, so I think the cops took him in for killing Mikos. That's what it is, or nearly killing Mikos. Because actually. Take that back. Let's wipe the board. Because that's not true either, because they arrest the priest for no reason. And then one of the cops is like, hey, you know that guy that came in fucking impaled? He's Greek. And so is that priest. And they're like, oh, that's weird. And that's the end of that. And then shortly after that, they question him. And that's when he reveals nothing in interrogation. He's like, I'm not telling you anything. And then it cuts to him going into the doctor's office with the cop. And then he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, this guy, regeneration and unstoppable killing machine. Wouldn't talk in interrogation, but immediately goes to another room. And it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'll tell you everything about this fucking guy. I know him well.
Dude, so many things made me laugh. Like that scene made me laugh out loud. Before he picks up the bikers, we're actually introduced to the cops because there's a drunk guy in the middle of the road. And there's a biker gang that just rides their bikes around him. And we talked about it in Shocking Dark, how the people were screaming, like, you know, help us for like 7 minutes. These bikers circle this homeless guy for like at least five, like literally five real-time minutes. Just be like, hee-hee, what's up, old man? And like, I'm going to get you, old man. And they're just circling him. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
There's also a real-time surgery scene with Mikos where they're trying to put his guts back in. Dude, it spans multiple scenes. Like, the whole, like, arrest, interrogation, and then like looking at x-rays and like charts is all interspliced with them performing real-time surgery on Mikos to put his fucking intestines back in his stomach.
And dude, the doctor jargon that they're talking is honestly, if you had like a second grader write it, it's the most simplistic, like Joe D'Amato couldn't be bothered to look up any medical term at all.
It's fucking incredible. It's honestly fucking amazing. And what's also weird is that, like, how these people are all intertwined with these characters from a very early point. Like, the little boy opens the door and finds this guy with his intestines hanging out.
Right.
And, like, but then, like, this guy's like, hey, I'm going to go back and kill that fucking kid.
That's what happens. So to go backwards, which brings up... Actually, yes, let's go back because I need to bring up this line. So he gets disemboweled and he just wanders like the streets, which the priest was chasing him. Why, how did he manage to escape after he was impaled? The priest just went home after, but he's just wandering the streets with his guts hanging out. And he shows up at this boy's house and he's just like, ugh, and the mom starts screaming because she sees him. And then it goes later on and they're like, I think the guy was trying to rob the house. Which, yeah, you would. And the cop is like, he's going to rob the house with people still in there. That's fucking impossible. Dude, that's literally what he says.
Oh my god, dude. Fucking, this movie fucking rocks. Again, by the way, guys, anyone that said, like, oh, this is so boring, it's a slog of the first half. Dude, this is all in, like, the first, like, 15 like minutes. It's unbelievable. Minutes, yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's, like, nonstop fucking laughs or insanity on the screen. Like, dude, the guy gets fucking impaled and walking around with his guts out. Oh, my God. It's so fucking
imagine
weird.
Imagine seeing someone with their guts out and having that face.
Dude, and then, like, it's, like, two Greek nationals and the Italian police who are working so hard on this case. They're, like, honestly working so hard. They finally put together that they're both Greek, and they're like, oh, that's fucking weird. And never once are they like, hey, you want to go look at this fucking guy and tell me if you know him?
Also, dude, that main cop is the best actor ever. That guy is genuinely mad at everything that he comes across in this movie.
I felt like he was, like, a real cop that they just, like, put into this movie. And he was just, like, infuriated by everything that was written and happening. People are saying things to him, and he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Well, the surgeon and the nurses are talking about this guy that they're putting back together. And they're like, oh, he woke up from the anesthesia. And like things like, you know, like, he healed himself. He's like, I've never seen somebody like heal that fast. His blood was coagulating. So it's not like the doctors did anything to this guy to change him. He appears to have been this way.
Right.
So I don't know. Again, I don't know why he's running from this old priest. And by the way, this old priest is like, I'm the only one that can kill him. He does not. And fucking terrible at it. He also just does that. He definitely just says that to hustle a gun and a car out of the cops, which they provide him. He's like, listen, I can help you, but you're going to have to give me a gun and a car. And the cops are like, oh, all right, be safe. Fucking insane. So they're talking about this, and we see Mikos wake up, he grabs the nurse, and he fucking uses this giant drill, which is 100% not a surgical tool. Like, it's this long, skinny drill that he fucking puts into the nurse's temple, and it goes through her fucking brain. By the way, her eyes never close. Her eyes are open the whole time, which I loved. Goes through her fucking head, comes out the other end.
Dude, the kills in Absurd
rock
are honestly great.
Dude, fucking
honestly rock. Great.
And there's blood because spraying out of the hole. It's fucking awesome.
It's great. And I'm just gonna skip to it. He after he kills her, he's walking around. He comes across like a janitor guy who for some reason is armed. But he shoots the Absurd guy. It doesn't faze him. And then Absurd puts him in a table saw. That kills fucking disgusting.
Dude, that kills honestly, unbelievable.
Like maybe like queasy.
That kills unbelievable. And you know what's more unbelievable about that scene? Is I'm pretty sure for some reason he was in a butcher shop.
The guy definitely had a butcher knife. I thought, dude, I'm glad you said that. Because I thought he was still in the hospital. Because that guy's in like janitor outfit.
Yes, dude, he's mopping. And there's blood everywhere. And I was like, well, that's a weird, yeah. That's a surgery went really awry in the hospital. He's just mopping up blood. But I'm pretty sure it's just a butcher. But like, that, I swear to God, they do not explain that he like walked, like he, I guess he did. He escaped, right? But, like, it's not that clear. It's not that clear cut. So anyone that's going to email me and be like, no, he escaped. I know. But, like, it's not like they cut and you saw, like, a butcher sign outside and you see him walking. You know what I mean? It's just suddenly we're in a butcher's like shop and he fucking murders this guy with a fucking bandsaw table saw thing.
Yeah, that actually makes way more sense now because, you know, he would have that to cut the meat and not just be a janitor.
Dude, I thought the same fucking thing. I was like, I wrote janitor and then I was like, wait a minute. Because then he looks at like the table full of weapons and it's just knives. And I was like, it's a weird toolbox for janitor. And there really is no like super indication that he left other than like a few people I noticed had been like, yeah, he's on the loose. You know what I mean? Oh boy. Anyway, the priest has finally given up the information at this point. Yeah. So whatever. So he's on the loose. He kills this butcher. That fucking rocks. The priest asks the cop for the gun. So now the priest is on the run. He's going to try and chase down Mikos and end this himself because he claims he is the only guy to do that, which we will learn is a fucking load of shit. Meanwhile, on a back road, fucking Absurd gets hit by a car. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure the cameraman dropped the camera in that scene. Dude, the fucking camera is so shaky in this movie. But in that scene in particular, he gets hit and the camera just drops. It works, but it's also, I think it was a mistake.
That scene also made me laugh out loud because we see the bikers again who, for some reason, came back. And, like, why bring those characters back of all characters? But, George Eastman's character is like approaching him, so you think they're going to kill him. And he somehow gets hit by a car, which in that scene, it honestly does not look like it hit him at all. No. It just kind of looks like it drove by him fast. And the he was on the other side of the road, so I don't know why that guy would have hit him in the first place.
No. Dude, Absurd did several scenes, which, dude. Oh, wait, was it Absurd or was it a different movie? No, I think it was a different movie. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. I watched a movie recently where people were doing, and I think it was Evil Toons. People were doing the old, like the fucking, you put the knife in between your armpit and your chest to make it look like it's impaling you. And that, dude, it happened several times in that movie. And I was just like, oh, God damn it. Anyway, I thought it happened here, but I don't think it did. He kills that kid too, right? On the motorbike.
Yes.
Yeah. R.I.P. R.I.P. We also get there's so many characters in this. One of the characters, I feel like it was one of the babysitters, is walking home at night. And there's so many tropes in horror where like people complain about like the girl falling while being chased. But my favorite thing is this girl falls and she's not being chased. Dude, she falls like flat on her fucking face and it seems so odd. And then she just gets up and it's like, oh, all right. And then she meets an old guy who's like, you dropped this. And then just starts laughing his ass off. Starts cackling.
Oh, dude, just go back 1 second. I also love that the guy who manages to hit the fucking Mikos is also the girl's dad who house Mikos on his way to.
Yeah, we should reference that. That's so fucking weird. Dude, like the weird connections that you think are going to come into play later do not, right? So like that guy hits Mikos and it's not really anything until the end where he's like, oh fuck, I ran over that guy. He's like, you think I should tell the cops I ran over that guy? And the wife's like, absolutely not. And then, like, even the scene where the mom and the brother see him in the opening scene, I mean, is maybe that's his motivation to kill them, maybe? I don't know. But other than that, it provides no intel. Like, the kid's not like, oh, well, I guess the kid's like, it's the boogeyman, the guy I saw or whatever. But, like, it's not really necessary. What did not need to happen? And you'd think that there'd be a bigger payoff to him seeing him earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed it was to set up that's where he's going back to, but how does he even remember how to get there?
Like, why is he that mad about it? Yeah. If anything, they saved him, right?
They saved him. He gets to the hospital and he fucking is healed. He probably should focus on trying to kill this fucking priest that's been chasing him. And he seems to be terrified by it. The Italians are watching NFL. Well, I guess they're not Italians. They're Americans. And my favorite thing was that the QB's name was Josh McDoodle.
they couldn't come up with a real name.
Dude, and they used real NFL footage, which I thought was fucking insane. Like, there's no way they got permission to use it. But then had to be like, oh, old Josh McDoodle, rookie Josh McDoodle playing his first game. And they're shoveling pasta into their face. It was the best. And this is where it slows down a little bit. Absurd's kind of like stalking the house and, you know, just typical horror. They're setting an atmosphere. They're setting a tone. And now, so the parents have all left, right? That's the story here. And that's something I didn't totally pick up on at my first watch. And when you said it, like that there's a babysitter and stuff, now it makes a lot more sense, right? So the parents were not home. They were all watching football and leaving their children at home alone. But they were like down the street. And so this guy, this Mikos, is stalking the house of the children.
There is the babysitter there, right?
There is a babysitter. But she's still a kid, right?
You know, younger. Like high school, right?
Yeah, I guess. Although I'm going to be honest with you, now I'm thinking about it. Like, there's so many characters. That's the problem. If that is the babysitter, the one that gets her head shoved in the oven.
Yes.
Okay, she's like 40 years old. So okay, so she's not a kid. I'm totally wrong. That woman's old as fuck. Anyway, so absurd's watching these kids. Yeah, and the family gets a call that's watching football that this guy Mikos is on the loose and to be on the lookout. So this is not like shocking, right? They're told in advance, but I guess it takes them a long time to get home or something.
Even though they're right down the street.
Absurd kills a woman with a fucking pickaxe. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't know who she was, but she was also in the house. He obliterates her.
She was her family friend.
Obliterates her, dude. And we'll see her later with the axe still in her fucking head, and it's going into her skull and coming out of, like, her jaw.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Can you imagine crying about this movie? This movie's fucking everything I've ever wanted in a movie. The babysitter finds the pickaxe woman, so her first instinct is to take the little boy, I forget his name, and she locks him outside. And this is what you're saying is like a reference to Halloween, right?
Yeah, go down the street to the McKenzies, and he keeps saying the boogeyman's coming. Yeah.
And guess what? Guess what? This fucking kid doesn't do shit. This kid, dude, she locks him out of the house and is like, go get help. And he literally just hangs out around the house forever. He never fucking goes and gets help. At any point. It's fucking wild. And Mikos is just terrorizing everyone. He is now on the hunt. He almost gets the boy. He gets away. He almost gets the babysitter. She gets away. But he finally does get her. And he shoves her in an oven.
Dude. A gross, like, blistering burn marks.
Dude. And it's such a long fucking scene where they just, like, keep cutting back to it because he turns on the oven. And I was like, oh, is he just going to, like, you know, kill her with, like, you know, gas, right? Like, putting your head in the oven, the old school suicide thing. And I was like, that would be fucking kind of weak. But no, he turns on the fucking flame and he's just roasting her fucking face. And we'll cut to the kid doing bullshit, and then it'll cut back, and she'll just have more blisters on her face. Cut back, more blisters. It was insane. Her hair's all fucking burned off. It's unbelievable. And he kills her, and the only thing that really stops him from torturing her is... I remember why that scene was so long. Because for 15 minutes, we watched that girl in the bed try to take the straps off of her bed.
Who can't move, who has a spinal injury that we've seen throughout the whole movie, and she's trying to get up.
If there's one thing to complain, if there's one thing to complain about, it's this fucking scene and how long it took. Dude, watching her try and get that one strap off is painful, fucking exhausting. But it's just this one scene, that's all. But she does, and that's what's intertwined with the cooking of this woman's face. But she does get up, and she blinds old Anthropophagus with a fucking compass. Is that what it's called? A compass?
Yeah.
The two-point? Yeah. Dude, fucking...
The kind that you used to put a pencil into?
Yeah, dude, stabs him in both fucking eyes. He's blind now. That's fucking amazing. Meanwhile, that little kid's still outside and he runs into the armed and mobile priest. And he must tell the priest to come back, but the priest comes back without a kid, which is fine. And he does nothing. He walks in. By the way, this is the guy that was like, I need a gun to kill this guy. What runs in and just gets fucking strangled by a blind guy. FYI. You guys got no eyeballs anymore. And he fucking runs in
just with a gun right and gets arms.
Fucking strangled to death. Fucking crazy. Imagine that. And all of this is happening, and, you know, the there were some other things that happened, though, too, because he almost gets the little boy, and, like, the girl that was put in the oven, the babysitter, actually makes a comeback and fucking stabs him, but he turns around and makes quick work of her. But in this one, he's strangling the priest, and it's the young girl with the neck injury who's been laying in bed forever. Who decapitates him with an axe. Fucking awesome.
And the cops show up and she's standing with a decapitated head.
It's dude, awesome. That was fucking sick, dude. Because the cops show up, she's covered in fucking blood. And they're just panning to... not only do they pan to everyone's face, they pan to everyone's face twice. They do like a full circle of everyone twice. And everyone's just like horrified. She's covered in blood. And she's like... She looks at her little brother and she's like, you don't have to be afraid of me. And then she just fucking holds up his fucking head. And that is the end. That's the end of that movie. And that movie fucking rips. That movie is so fucking good. Absurd. What year was that made?
1981.
81, man.
4 years or 40 years old then.
Oh shit, that's right. I wonder. Oh shit. When's it? Dude, is it? I'm pretty sure it was released in May too. Cause was this the one I said was released to. No, this one wasn't in Gaines. That was that other fucking masterpiece. October.
This is October.
Yeah. Oh, bummer. All right. Yeah, what up? Cause it was Halloween. It was Halloween. I'm surprised they didn't take the Halloween name for this one.
One of its 20 aliases? Like, what did it have to lose?
Oh, man. So that was Absurd versus Shocking Dark. Joe, let's talk about the rankings on this one. Let's just rank this one down the board. I mean, as a Shameless ripoff goes, I think we already know Shocking Dark.
Shocking Dark at the point. 10-9, Shocking Dark.
Shocking Dark, 10-9. Movie quality, Absurd.
Okay, I agree. 10-9.
Okay. So we're at a dead tie, right? What could be our final
It's got to be enjoyment.
Oh, enjoyment. Okay. I like that. Quality, enjoyment, and then whatever the week is. Enjoyment. It's got to be Absurd, man. I fucking loved it.
It's absurd. It's absurd. Absurd. For me.
So absurd wins 10-9.
Tomato's up.
Tomato is up. Although I'm gonna be honest, I'm excited. I think we have a hell of a lineup coming up, and I think this was a little lopsided. I think this was a little bit of a lopsided matchup. You know, Matei comes in with this Shocking Dark. By the way, next week, can we please do like a Teddy Atlas versus Stephen A. Smith bit where I'm just fucking screaming at you. Just take a hot take on one of them so I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs.
We could probably do that to Paul. We could call Paul up.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll get Paul on. Because, dude, we'll just take the hottest take of it and just have Paul start screaming at us about film.
You already started. Remember, I showed you that. Did you see that text I put? I sent, or that screenshot I showed you? I don't know why I can't talk. I switched to Truly's tonight. And because, you know, usually I drink White Claws. They have gone right to my head. What was I saying? Oh, Paul fucking messaged me being like, once again, you know, 5 weeks later, being like, I can't believe you guys didn't ask me to be on your live show last time. I'm like, well, we're doing one like coming up. Like, join us. He's like, yeah, what's it on? And I'm like, Cruel Joss. He's like, I would never do that again. First off, he's asking me, which I answer and provide him a solution to his question. And he's like, I've already seen it. You only have so much. His fucking answer was, you only have so much limited time on this earth. Why would I spend another 90 minutes watching it again? Like, all right, then don't join us. I'm kidding.
That's my favorite thing ever. Oh, my God. You only have. I did see that. Yeah, no, we should bring him on. He'll be so mad. And we'll just do that. And he'll be the Teddy Atlas, just being like, you, how fucking dare you? Never seen him more mad. And it was because he was, Stephen A. Smith was like complimenting McGregor as a boxer, right? Like,
you see, you were saying he, like, it was a close match and then he almost won.
And by the way, Stephen A. Smith started fucking laughing. Like, that's how little he took this seriously. And Teddy Atlas was like, you're a fucking disgrace.
He's so red in the face.
Screaming.
That's not the first time he's done that.
Dude, and Stephen A. Smith kept going, being like, oh, yeah, well, what do you know about boxing? Oh, man, it was fucking amazing. That's what we need for Paul. Just do that. All right, so, yeah, I think this was a mismatch because I do think – I think Shocking Dark was, like, truly, like, just a fucking scene-for-scene remake. Whereas Absurd – well, I guess you could say it really – it's really close. I don't know. But anyway, I wish I could give Matei like a little bit more love on that, but that was a hard matchup for him. I am excited. So next week is Anthropophagus versus Hell of the Living Dead. I think I said this last week. I love Hell of the Living Dead. I really do. I thought it was one of the most batshit things I've ever seen in my life.
I've never seen that. I'm very excited.
Oh, dude, I remember just being blown away, and it's actually, I should look for it in the horror show Instagram, because I remember posting about it when I watched it and being like, this is unbelievable. Just the first 5 minutes alone is just insane. Dude, the fucking fake rat at the beginning. It's fucking amazing. So I think Matei's got a good shot next week. I'm trying to look up my letterbox rating for, dude, I give it 4 stars.
Wow. All right.
I said, this movie is fucking awesome. I can't recommend it enough. It's so stupid and awesome.
Okay. Well, what is the theme? Video Nasties?
It's Video Nasties. Yeah. Which I think might have been. Oh, no. It was Bruno Matti week for Cult Challenge when I watched it. But yeah, Video Nasties, Anthropophagus versus Hell of the Living Dead. That one I know for a fact has like 9 names. Night of the Zombies, Zombie Human Flesh is one name for it. It's insane. So I'm excited for that. Anthropophagus, yeah. And then we'll have Killer Birds versus Rats, which that'll be a tough one. So, you know what? I'm not that upset about giving this to D'Amato for round one. Because I feel like looking at these, I feel a little more comfortable that it won't be like a total fucking wash, you know? I want it to be exciting. Dude, I'm like so invested in this. I don't think I'm gonna get
it. I am too.
I've like never been so excited for the show in my life. all right. So yeah. So Anthropophagus versus Hell of the Living Dead. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Monster Mania is coming up. Do us a favor, guys, because we're trying to plan it and it's a little bit of a weird setup this year. So if you are coming to Monster Mania, tickets are already sold out, but please, 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 please email me, Sean@IHateHorror.com, and let me know what day you plan on coming out to Monster Mania, just so we can kind of figure something out. So please let me know that. We will have the new exclusive merch on sale. Cool little design. We're doing a really super limited run on. If you are a Patreon member, I'm letting that sounds so weird. I put up pre-orders for that shirt. So really it's going to be, I decided every con or show we're going to do, we'll release an exclusive tee and we'll also make it available to our Patreon members. So, Patreon members, go, check out the post I posted. I think it's if you're in the US, it's $20 with shipping included. So just a $20 bill, baby. So hit that up, patreon.com/IHateHorror. You can check out that merch. You can check out the exclusive Patreon episodes, the Discord. And yeah, we're having a blast on Patreon. Patreon is like turning into like a real fucking cool thing for us. A real outlet for our creativity too. So it's pretty fun. Instagram.com/IHateHorror, facebook.com/IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish1985.
All right. You got anything else?
I'm good. This was fun.
Let's end this shit. Fucking D'Amato up, baby. Is Matty on the ropes or is he going to fucking come in swinging?
I can't wait.
I can't fucking wait. Dude, I'm so excited to watch these movies. Like, legitimately. All right, guys.
It's crazy. I had like the busiest weekend. Like I had so much to do, and I just made time to fucking watch these. Which other weeks it's like a struggle to watch one movie.
Dude, I agree with that. Like, I started one on Thursday night, and I was like, I'm so jazzed for this. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. I die, movies all fucking day. I wanna play. I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch. Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. The monster.